Hello and welcome to As We Wait, an in-depth verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. Join pastor and teacher Mike Scanlon of Calvary Chapel, Susanville, California, as he continues the study through the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. This is part one of a two-part study of Deuteronomy chapter 28. You have a few moments, so why don't you grab your Bibles and follow along. Please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. As I wait, you make me strong as I long. Draw me to your arms as I stand and sing your praise. You come and you fill this place.
Well, go ahead and grab your Bibles. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 28. We'll just read the first half. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kine, and thy flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee from before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee, in thy storehouses, and all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee, and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thine kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence to cleave unto thee, until he has consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with the blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall ferry them away. And the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her, and thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. The sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt not only be oppressed and crushed always, so thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs, and with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot to the top of thy head. Gracious Father, as we read through all these things, Lord, we crave your blessing. Lord, we ask that you would bless us and keep us from presumptuous sin. Keep us, Lord, from these curses. Lord, help us to hear your voice. Help us to learn the lessons that are here for us tonight and to walk in your ways, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would teach us. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first 14 verses of this chapter contain these awesome, awesome blessings. And you go through there and it's like, man, when God wants to bless, he can bless, can he? And it's neat to see the description of it. But we also see in the last three quarters of this chapter, 54 verses to be exact, God pronouncing curses. I think God is trying to tell his people something. I think he's putting before them such a stark contrast. It's like, choose door number one. Please choose door number one. Don't go with the other way. And he's making it so lopsided that anybody would be able to figure this out. In verse 1, it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. That word diligently, it's the same thing that we read essentially in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study or be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There is a call to diligence. Being obedient to the word of God does not happen by accident. It's a purposeful, willful, intentional decision. And we have to will to be willing. And so they're called now. He says, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Again, here's what will happen if. And if you'll hearken diligently to observe to do all. And these words are absolutes. I mean, the first word's conditional, but the second word, all, it means you've got to do everything. It leaves no room for failure. And again, the standard has been set many times in God's word. And we read this morning in Genesis 17:1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Our God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the standard that he applied to Abraham is essentially the same standard that applies to us, perfection. The only difference is that, in a sense, we have Jesus. We know that we can hide in him, and we can have his perfection, and that's what God sees through us. But God's promises and blessings are awesome and wonderful, but in this case, they're conditional, based on or predicated upon the performance. And again, this can be the impossible thing. And they would potentially be set on high above all the nations of the earth. Think about the size of the nation of Israel. I mean, geographically, they're one of the smallest countries on the earth. Yet Israel commands a gigantic portion of the world's interest and attention. Luxembourg's a small town. Monte Carlo, a small city, nation, state. But whoever hears about them? Israel's not much bigger than they are, if it is bigger. And yet, they're in the headlines every day. And what we see as we go through this chapter, Israel does not completely be obedient to God's word. We'll see that as we go through the Old Testament. But they're not always completely disobedient either. There's a time where they're partially obedient. And so it's seemingly God is gracious and they get some of the blessings. Part of the blessing is that they would be set on high above all the nations of the earth. And what one nation, what little nation is everybody always talking about? In the Middle East, everyone's always talking about the Zionist entity / Israel. What's Washington? Every single presidency from Truman forward has been focused on trying to obtain peace in the Middle East. And who's the biggest player in the Middle East politics? Israel. It's amazing to me that there's such a central figure in the world, and it's pretty much what God is saying here. But in verse 2 it says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessings are mentioned 10 times, as opposed to the cursings, which are only mentioned 8 times. Now, granted, there's a lot more verses dedicated to describing the cursings, but when it comes down to the words, blessings or cursings, blessings are mentioned more often than cursings. And I like that, because our God is a blessing God. God says that the blessings would come upon them in such a way as to overtake them or to overwhelm them if they would just listen and obey. Isn't that how God blesses us? If you've ever been in that place, I'm sure we all have been, where when we're blessed by God, you're just overwhelmed. He doesn't just bless like a little bit. He doesn't just pour a thimble on us. He seemingly overwhelms us with his blessings, particularly when we sit back and we think about all the ways that God has blessed us. It's awesome how God blesses. This is mentioned four times in the first 13 verses. If they will just listen and obey, how God will bless them. And I like that. In Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, and the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." And I like that, that God's word is effective in our lives. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 40, verse 8, he says, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart." And when we can get to that place in our walk with Jesus, where our delight is to please him, our delight is to do his will, that's a good place to be. You know, that's right in that comfortable, sweet spot where it's like you just know that you're in the will of God. And I've had people ask me before, and this isn't always true, but someone did ask me not that long ago, and they say, "Mike, how you doing?" And I sat back and I thought about it for a minute, because a lot of things were swirling around in my life. And I thought, you know what? I know that I'm in the center of God's will. I'm doing pretty good right now. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Things will be falling apart if you just know that you're right with God. And God wants us to have that peace and have that security. I like the way John puts it in 1 John 5:3. He says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous," or they're not burdensome. God wants us to be blessed. And God is showing them that the way of blessing and how good it can be by simply being obedient to the commandments of the Lord. In verse 3, it said, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field." Basically, everywhere you go, you're going to be blessed. And it's not based on where we are. It's based on where God already is. Because it's not based on geography. It's based on an ever-present, omnipresent, blessing God. And I like this verse because it kind of illustrates one of the characteristics of God, and that is that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere at one time. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." In other words, the psalmist is saying, I can't get away from you. I can't go anywhere where you're not. And the prophet Jeremiah pretty much says the same thing. Jeremiah 23, verse 23. "Am I a God at hand, says the Lord, not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Do not I fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" I'm everywhere is what he's saying. You can't get away from God. And I like that, because there's times when we get to places where we think, God, you're not here. God, I don't sense your presence. But God is saying, I'm going to bless you in such a way that wherever you are, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be your blessing God. Then verse 4, "Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and of the flocks of thy sheep." Basically, I'm going to multiply your children, I'm going to multiply your cattle, I'm going to multiply your crops. You're going to be multiplied. And God's into exponential blessing. In verse 5, "Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store." He's talking about plenty of fruit and plenty of grain. Verse 6, "Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when you go out." You're going to be blessed coming in and out. No matter which way you go, you're going to be blessed. This sounds pretty good so far, doesn't it? It's those ifs that get us. If God just took the ifs out. But to me, this is awesome. I love reading this. Verse 7, "The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways." Seven ways, it's a type or an analogy, a philosophical way of saying confusion. It's like complete and utter pandemonium. They're just going to run away. They come against you organized in ranks. They're going to flee from you hither, thither. I mean, they're just going to be all over the place. And that's always kind of fun to watch. But your enemies are going to be struck down before you. They're going to be scattered. And it's the same thing we read about in Leviticus chapter 26, where the Lord says, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them," sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? See, God's into repeating himself because he knows that we need to hear it. In verse 6, he says, "I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword." He's going to give them peace, and he's going to give them victory. And he says, but again, that's conditional, if you'll be obedient to my commandments. Now in verse 8, "And the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee as a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. The Lord's going to command blessing upon them, and everything they touch, they're going to have the Midas touch. Everything you put your hand to is going to be blessed. Guys, don't you like that when you're working in the garage or working out in your yard, and like everything just goes the way it should? The lawnmower starts, the chainsaw starts, the tree falls where you want it to, or whatever you're doing. Have you ever had those days where you pull the lawnmower and the cord comes out in your hand? Then you go and you get it fixed and you fire it up and you realize there's no blade. You know, and everything you touch, it's like you just can't get anything done all day long. It is so cool when you know that the Lord is with you, when he's right there next to you, blessing you. And that's what's being described here. I like this, that everything you put your hand to will be blessed. The psalmist tells us the same thing in Psalm 1. He said, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither." And here's the part I like. "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." In other words, God is going to be in it. You should be blessed in the land which the Lord has given you. He's going to establish them as his holy people unto the Lord if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Again, these are conditional promises, and they're based on the performance or the obedience of the people to God's word. Then in verse 10, "And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord swore to their fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them." Again, just the incredible blessings. I don't know if you've been counting it, but some of these things are kind of repetitious. I'm going to bless your children, I'm going to bless your crops, I'm going to bless your children, I'm going to bless your crops, you know, everything you put your hand to. God is really emphasizing, I don't think we can even comprehend the way God wants to bless us. And he's repeating it kind of over and over again, and it's comprehensive. It's in every way that you can be blessed, you're going to be blessed. Again, that's the nature and the character of our God. And I like that. You should be the head and not the tail. You'll be lifted up and not set low if they will hearken. You're going to be top dog. What a special thing. Verse 14, "And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them." Special mention is made not to go outside of the commandments which God has made, which would lead them to go after other gods and to serve them. So again, that's part of where this goes. If we depart from God's word, where do we end up? If we are disobedient to God's word, where do we end up? We end up in this place in a sense of serving other gods. So God is trying to warn us to keep us from doing that, or the children of Israel. In verse 15, "And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Now, this is a very big but. It's one of those things you have to understand. This is a definitive moment. This is a huge contrast. It's one of those things you've got to understand that God is painting a very dramatic picture here. These blessings, we could go back through these blessings and really kind of like nail them down. And again, it's very thorough. And I like it, even though he repeats himself, it's only 14 verses. But then he spends the next 54 verses in this contrast kind of going, you can pick door number one, which is really cool, or you can pick the ugly door, and you don't want to go there. And that's the picture I'm seeing, is you don't want to go there. And we get to the end of this, and it's amazing to me the woe that the children of Israel end up embracing because of their disobedience. But it's the same for us. We end up embracing the same kind of things at times, and the woe that seemingly comes to us. But again, this contrast showing what will happen if they're disobedient and turn aside from God's commandments. And in verses 16 through 20, we see that all the curses are seemingly just the opposite of the blessings. And so it takes everything and just kind of reverses it. So verse 16, "Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field." In other words, everywhere you go. "Cursed shall be your basket and your store." Instead of a lot of fruit and a lot of grain, you're not going to get anything. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and of thy flocks and thy sheep. Instead of multiplying your children and multiplying your cattle and all that stuff, you're going to see a diminishing, a decreasing. Or the ones that are there, it's going to be a bummer. Verse 19, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. I mean, it's not just a bad year, it's more like a bad decade or a bad lifetime. Verse 20, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby you have forsaken me. That's how God looks at this. If we're disobedient to his word, he sees this as us walking away from him, forsaking him, turning our back on him. And we go, no, I haven't turned my back on the Lord. Well, in a way, we do at times when we're disobedient to his word. But all the things that come out of this, these old King James words, vexation and rebuke, cursing, and everything you put your hand to is going to crumble. Isn't that frustrating? I mean, I've had those days. And to think that I could have that decade, I don't want to go there. Again, it's because of the wickedness of their actions whereby they have forsaken God. Our actions define our faith. And we have to be so careful of that. Verse 21, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. That means you're not going to get away from it. It's going to stick to you like glue until he has consumed thee from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with a sword and with a blasting and with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. You know, the Lord's going to make pestilence cleave to them. It's going to stick. You think about the heaven being like brass. You don't get a lot of rain out of brass, do you? It's like squeezing blood from a turnip. You don't get rain, but to a people that are going to count on the rain to feed their crops and to water their cattle and for grass for grazing, rain is a huge deal. And when the heaven is brass, and brass is the metal of judgment, it's judgment from God. They're not going to get the rain that they need. Your ground is going to be like iron. It's pretty hard to plow iron, isn't it? You know, I've talked to a lot of pastors. It's kind of funny because you get a bunch of pastors together. Oh, yeah, where I'm at, man, it's hard to plow. It's tough soil. Like, I haven't seen it yet where it's easy. But you know what? When it rains on it, when there's water and it softens it, it gets a lot easier. But when it's like iron, that means you're not going to be able to plow for crops and all that kind of stuff. He's talking about a hard, a tough life. In verse 22, it says, the Lord will smite them with consumption, talking about tuberculosis. But the fact that the Lord will smite, this is mentioned four times in this chapter, in verse 22, 27, 28, and 35. And the idea here is that God doesn't want there to be any question about where it's coming from. I mean, I think about that. When it says God will smite, he doesn't want you to think, oh, what a coincidence. Oh, what a run of bad luck. Ooh, Mother Nature got me. No. God is doing the smiting. And it's like he walks right up to you, looks in the eye and goes, watch this. Boom, and just racks you one. There's no doubt where it came from for two reasons. One, got to know who you offended. And secondly, know who to go to for repentance. Because if we understand that we've offended God, he's the one doing the smiting. He's the one we need to go to and beg forgiveness and ask him to guide us. So that's the reason for that. The Lord will smite, and we see that a few times. Then in verse 24, the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down upon thee until you be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed from all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. He's saying, you're not just going to die, but you're not even going to be buried. You're not going to get even the honor of a decent burial. The animals are going to pick you apart, and no one's going to be there to say, don't do that, or to drive them away. Again, verse 27, the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with emrods or hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou can't be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled forevermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from thee before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might, no strength in your hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. Thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot to the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set up over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. There thou shalt serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. So Moses is warning the people what's going to happen if they're disobedient. But at the same time, he's prophesying in a certain sense of the things that are going to happen. We know that the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Romans came in and did all the things that are described here. Their history kind of bears all these things out. And these other nations are going to be used as God's instrument of judgment against the nation. They'll come in and consume everything. They're going to be spoiled. Their women are going to be ravished. Their children are going to be taken slaves. And all their stuff's going to disappear. It's going to be consumed. I'm here.
Well, that's all the time we have for now. You've just been listening to Pastor and Teacher Mike Scanlon of Calvary Chapel, Susanville, California, teaching part one of a two-part in-depth study of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Please join us again next time for part two as we continue our study through the book of Deuteronomy and through the entire Bible. As We Wait is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Susanville, California. We pray that you are blessed, and we'd like to invite you to join us in person. Calvary Chapel meets at 450 Richmond Road on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10:30. Our Wednesday evening service begins at 7, and communion is celebrated the first Sunday of each month at 6 p.m. To get the entire study on CD, please call the church office at 530-257-4833. And if you've made a profession of faith and would like more information on what it is to walk with Jesus or want to know how to grow in your faith, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at P.O. Box 1316, Susanville, California, 96130. All our services are streamed live on the web at www.ccsusanville.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.